I had an exciting morning. Our gas gauge decided to go out in the shuttle, and so it read a quarter tank, and it wasn't. And it ran out of gas going up to 40th. And so we, and Robbie came and we worked on it and got it going. And by the time we put 4 gallons in, it read three quarters of a tank. It's a 45-gallon tank. So it's all dangerous. So I didn't know I was that low on gas. So but, we're here. Praise the Lord. All in one piece. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." So I want to start with that verse, and then verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about Solomon's conclusions, some things he learned. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Lord, I pray we'd gain wisdom, and I pray you'd speak to us now, Father, and I pray that we would understand some great lessons that someone had to pay a great price to learn, Father. Help us to understand your word and be spoken to. I pray you teach us in a powerful way. We thank you for the chance to learn today, and thank you for your word and your spirit. Please, Lord, guide us now through the word in Jesus' name. Amen. I actually call this Solomon's poison checker's conclusion. Solomon the poison checker, his conclusion. I always joke around with my kids that I'm the poison checker. And whenever it's good food, I don't ever do that with the icky stuff, but the good food, I'm the poison checker. And Solomon, it's interesting, in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm kind of, there's a lot of ways to read Ecclesiastes and study it, a lot of different things in Ecclesiastes that are interesting. But in this book, I'm going to look at just kind of a picture of what Solomon did to gain wisdom for us, and some broad conclusions he reached, and so there's going to be some points here. Number one, Solomon decided to try everything and to know the result of pleasure and work on earth. Let me take you back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. So I never really taught Ecclesiastes this way exactly. Solomon decided to try everything and to know the result of pleasure and work on earth. Chapter 1. And verse 12, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." Then chapter 2, it goes into more detail, but verse 3, it says, "I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see that which is good for the sons of men, that which they should do under heaven all the days of their lives." So I decided to check and see what is a good way to live and what is a good thing to do in life for mankind, and what is worth it and what's not worth it. And so I said, I'm going to go do this in life. Now before this, he'd already tried the way of God. Now he's trying all kinds of other things. Verse 4, "I made me great works." And by the way, he was the one guy to do this because he was the one guy with unlimited wealth. He could do whatever he wanted, and he says, "Whatever I wanted, I didn't withhold my eyes. Whatever I saw and wanted, I took it." And most people can never do that. He says, verse 4, "I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. And I made pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maid servants, and had servants born in my house. And also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the providences. And I gat me men and singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men with as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So that I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eye desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not mine heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was a portion of my labor." A couple things. He said, I tried everything on earth. Everything I ever wanted, I got. And he didn't just do sinful things. Solomon says, I built vineyards, I built houses, I built all kinds of things, I made all kinds of things, I created all kinds of things. Everything I want to do, every project I would have ever wanted to be involved in, I did. I did everything I could ever want to do. And so he did good, evil, right, wrong. He tried everything under the sun. And to find out what was worth it on earth and to know the result of pleasure and his labor on earth and what was worth living for. Number two, he strangely kept his wisdom. Solomon kept his wisdom. That's very strange. Chapter 2, verse 9. So I was great and increased more than all that were forming Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. If you go forward to chapter 12 and verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, and he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. He was wise. This is a strange thing, and I think it was a miracle from God, really, so he could write this book. But most people, when they decide to be foolish, they aren't thinking straight. And you lose your wisdom. He who does foolishly usually begins to be foolish and think foolish and doesn't know what they're doing, and they don't even see their way. Most people who become foolish, and cannot see how foolish they are. Many people look back and see how foolish they were, but in their foolishness, they can't see it. How many of you in your foolishness couldn't see how foolish you were at the time? You didn't know you're foolish. That's pretty much all of us. You couldn't see at the time how foolish you were. That is the norm. Solomon went in and tried all these foolish things, and yet he had all the wisdom of the wisest man who ever lived and saw exactly what he's doing. And so in that state of still having supernatural wisdom from God, a gift from God, he looked around, and in that perspective of great wisdom, he saw clearly everything he was doing and everything around him. So really, a wise person can't always see that because they're not in it. And a foolish person is in it and they can't see clearly. But Solomon retained his wisdom. I illustrate it this way. Solomon was like a crash dummy who was really a human but couldn't quite die. See, a crash dummy can't really tell us how they feel. That's why they're crash dummies. And that's why they don't feel anything, and they crash, and we watch their bodies and watch what they do, and we can watch foolish people and see what they do and learn from them. That's fine. That's what we do. But Solomon was a person in a crash, doing the crash dummy thing, and then he gets out and says, okay, let me tell you how that feels to get in a wreck and have your head bashed in. And really, it's kind of an amazing thing because normally people can't do that. And Solomon retained his wisdom, and he wasn't a person who couldn't see the forest for the trees. He was a person in the middle of the trees and saw the whole forest and saw the trees. And so he can look back at us and say, let me tell you all about life, foolishness, good, bad. He said, let me tell you how all this felt, how I perceived it, what it's like. And I was still able to have wisdom in all that, and he kept his wisdom. So that's an amazing thing that he was able to do that. That's a supernatural thing that God gave him so he could write that book. Number three, because of this, because he retained his wisdom in his foolishness, he was able to see the waste of the life that he lived, the waste of life lived for the world's pleasure. Look at chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Because he was able to see and keep his wisdom and have everything he ever wanted. Again, a singular person. He could have everything he ever wanted. He was very wise, and he retained his wisdom. Because he was that singular person who did that, he was able to see the worst of life, and he was able to see the waste of life lived for this world's pleasure. Verse 2, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man in all his labor which he taketh under the sun? See, many times a young person whose parents talk to them, they don't understand that we were young once. I mean, intellectually, they say, okay, I know you're my age, but when you were young, it was different. You guys weren't cool like we are. Okay, but we all know we were cool, weren't we? Just like they were. And someday they're going to be 40 or 50, and they're going to look at their kids and say, I know what it's like. And their kids are going to go, no, you don't know what it's like. It's different now. You don't know what it's like to have peer pressure and be cool. And, you know, you guys were, you don't have the things we had. And everybody thinks they're unique, and they live in a different generation, and that's just humankind. When you go to a young person and say, you know what, that's not going to satisfy you, they might say, how do you know? I'm going to go make $1 million, and you don't know that's not going to satisfy me because you've never had $1 million. I'm going to go out and do this immorality. I'm going to do this and that. I'm going to be with 50 different men or 50 different women. I'm going to have all this pleasure and fun, and you don't know that that's not going to be fun. You watch. I'll have fun in it. But Solomon was the guy who was able to go do everything. And when he got all done and tried everything, he was able to see the uselessness of living for life under the sun. And that's a key phrase in this book, is under the sun. He says, life is useless. The word vanity means waste and useless. You are a gerbil, and you're running in a little cage. And you feel like you're doing something. But he says, I've ran the whole course, and I've ran in the best cages, and I've ran every way. And I've lived the whole life a gerbil, and you know what? You're wasting your life under this sun. Life lived on earth, under the sun, in the end, is a waste of time. It's a vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Everyone who's ever lived before you, and he talks about the foolish, well, there's a lot of points under this. Because of this, able to retain his wisdom and try everything, he could see the waste of life, live for this world's pleasure, and for life lived under the sun. What profit, verse 3, hath a man in all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? He says, now life isn't like that. If you serve Christ, life is worth it. Life is worth a living just because he lives. It's worth living for God, but under the sun, just living for the pleasure of this world, you get done, and if that's all you did, you are a hamster who ran around your cage and says, I rotated my cage 63,875 times. And that's it. And you'll get through life and say, I earned this much money, I ran this many things, I did this many things, and I breathed this much oxygen. And you know what? There's a whole bunch of generations who did it just like you did before you, and they're gone. And all they did is done. And he talks a lot about that. Here's some thoughts of the waste, the vanity of life without living for God and things under the sun. Number one, things come and go. You're just a blip. Understand his perspective under the sun. Things come and go, and you're just a blip in time. Your life is just a blink of an eye in your lifetime. Like that. I mean, your life on earth is just a blip of time. If the Lord tarries, you'll come and go, and you'll just be a tombstone. Just like people who live in 1840 and 1730 and 505, you will be a person who just came and went, and your life is gone. You will be under the ground, and it won't matter. Look what he says here. It's just things come and go. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where it arose. The sun goeth toward the south, and turneth about to the north. It whirleth around continually, and the winds return again according to their circuits. You know what the funny thing? We humans are so arrogant. We think that we are the center and beginning of everything. And we think we are the special thing, and we think our life, this life now, is what really matters. Do you know that the person who lived in 1750, they lived and were just your age and thought their life was just as significant as you. And they came and went. And another generation came, and another generation came, and another generation came, and they looked at their kids and watched their kids grow up and grew old and watched their, and then they passed away, and then their kids grew old, and then they passed, and it says, you know what? If this life is all there is, it's just a big cycle. Sun rose 500 years ago, it set 500 years ago. The wind came, it wasn't like you got the wind in your generation. Cows grew, people ate them. People bought things and got things, and things came and went, and storms came and went, and you know what? It's just a big cycle of the same thing over and over. You're not, looking in earthly perspective, you're not this special thing. You're just another blip on the screen. It just keeps on going on and on. You're just a screensaver, and you're the fish that keeps swimming through. I mean, if that's all there is to this earth. By the way, if evolution's true, that's all that you are, too. You're an accident, and you just will come and go, and you're just a bunch of chemicals who came together with no plan or purpose. Under the sun. Up in heaven, you're much more significant than that. Watch how he continues with this, verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. You don't say, you know what? I heard music one time. all right, that's all I need for my life. You don't see something, you don't eat food and say, okay, I ate, I'm satisfied. It's a cycle where you got to continually fill things. You don't weed your garden one time. Everything in life has to be done over and over and over. You don't have to wash your hands one time in your life or take one shower. Life is labor, constantly redoing things. The thing that hath been, verse 9, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which is before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those things that shall come after. Just going to come and go. Come and go. The movie stars, when you were young, you thought they were so amazing, they're all passing away now. And they were so big and strong and burly, and you thought they'd live forever. And now there's new movie stars. And the kids think they can't believe those people ever get old. And the young people still think they'll never get old, and it just continues a cycle. If all there is this earth, it's just a constant labor of cycles. And you're just another blip. Number two, he noticed, if all this is just this life and work on earth, pleasures are fun, but that's it. It's unfulfilling. Chapter 2, verse 10. It says, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them, and withheld not mine heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced with all in all my labor, and this was a portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on all the labor that was that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He says, I had fun. I had all this joy. He says, I withheld not, verse 10, my heart from any joy, but this is the portion of my labor. If I go out today and I take $20 and I go out and I buy a ring, a cheap little ring, that's it. I go out and I spend something. I labored and I spent this many hours and I did this and that. Now I buy it and I eat something. It's gone. I buy some gas. Then it's gone. Things will give you pleasure for a little while. I'm glad I got to eat. I'm glad I got to drive for a while. I'm glad I got this and that. But then it's done and it's empty. The things of this world don't really satisfy you for very long. That's why you got to keep doing them. That's why nobody gets drunk once in their life and says, okay, I don't need to get drunk again. Because that which starts has to go again and again and again and again. Pleasures are fun, but that's it. They're unfulfilling. If all it is this earth. Number three, good and bad happens to everyone on earth. Chapter 2, verse 14. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. So the wise man sees what he's doing, but the fool walks in darkness, doesn't even know where he's going. And I myself perceive that the one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as a wise man who ever lived, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then said I in my heart, that this is also vanity. Guy is very, 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 very wise. And he has a heart attack. Listen, I'm a really, 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 really good driver. I don't mean that braggingly. I'm just naturally driving guns very naturally. I can drive any type of vehicle in the world. I keep safe driving distance. I have great reflexes. I got excellent vision. I'm very naturally a good driver. And whatever I drive great. But you know what? I get more wrecks than the terrible driver. People hit me. Doesn't matter how good a driver I am. It just doesn't matter. And one guy keeps his health perfect, and he slips in the shower, and boom, that's the end of it. A lot of things in life happen to the fool just like to the wise. Some very wise people had bad things happen to them. Some very foolish people had some very good things happen. Listen, he says, if all there is in this earth is this earth, I give it my best effort with all my wisdom, and you know what? Some really bad people are just as happy as me and having are having better things. Listen, there's some really bad people out there who are have a lot of money or have a lot of fun on earth. If that's all there was in his life, it's a waste of time. And Solomon said, why am I wiser than them? Because good things happen to me, good things happen to them. Bad things happen to me, bad things happen to them. Hey, a good person's car breaks down just like a bad person's car. God may bless sometimes and give a miracle. A good person sometimes has health issues like a bad person. And so he says, if all there is this earth, then you know what? Wisdom isn't all that great. Because if it's just dodging problems and trying to have fun on earth, you can't guarantee anything. You can have a great life planned out, and boom, some turn in your health or something changes everything. Some relationship change changes everything in your life. And he says, this earth, if all there is under the sun, good and bad happens to everyone on earth. Number four, when you die, it doesn't matter. All there is under the sun, when you die, everything you just did was a waste of time. That's an amazing thing. You could have lived 80 years, and you could have built things and done things and had every pleasure on earth, and then you're dead, and then it's done. And it doesn't matter what you had remaining or what you finished up with or what you had in the bank or anything. It doesn't matter. Chapter 2, verse 18. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, but because I should leave it to the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is not a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall I leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great spirit. For what hath man in all his labor and the vexation of his spirit wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief, and his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Here goes a guy and he works on a farm his whole life and takes out the rocks and plows the fields and plants the things he wants to plant and puts this there, and he gets a beautiful farm, and then he dies, and well, all his labor might go to, some might just rot. Someone else might come and enjoy his labor, but it doesn't do him any good. He just labored his whole life and doesn't get to enjoy it at the end of his life. And he says, this is a waste. Why? It's such a waste because I don't even know who's going to come after me. They're going to enjoy all my labor, and I don't even know if they're going to enjoy it. And I labor for all this, and if we're just looking under the sun. Person I know read a book, and this person was an atheist and didn't believe in God, but he said, well, even by the Bible, Solomon's the wisest man who ever lived, and he said there is no profit in anything under the sun because there's no point to everything. And he tries to use the book of Ecclesiastes to say that just there's nothing and circumstances and random and God's not involved in our lives. And he tries to use that book to persuade people that even if you're following the Bible, it's a waste of time. Except for the guy just leaves out the word under the sun. Missed the whole point of the book. All that's referring to under the sun. Yes, life is a waste if you just live the life for this earth. It's a lot of work and not a lot of profit. And it doesn't last very long, and then you just disappear and somebody else comes in your place. And he says it's that's the way it is. Number five, it is better to be happy than to have lots of things. It is better to be happy than to have a lot of things. Chapter 4 and verse 13. Better is a poor and a wise. You go in there, honey. She's okay. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 13. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king. Who will no more be admonished? For out of prison he cometh to reign, whereas he was also born into his kingdom, becometh poor. It's kind of interesting in this book. He talks about how if you're happy, you're happy. One of the funny things about life, don't determine what makes somebody happy. I mean, serving God gives you the abundant life, but don't think, you know what, this person is poor, so I've got to get them out of poverty so they can be happy. That's not going to make them happy, getting them out of poverty. Don't think that if I get them this or if I move to this country. You know, I've been to some very poor countries and where people don't have a whole bunch. And you know what? They are amazingly happy, and they're happier than people with a whole bunch. And it's not simple things like things of earth. And so, you know, basically, I remember reading Robinson Crusoe, and just an interesting part of that book. The dad gave a long lecture to his son. And he said, son, the happiness in life does not come from being wealthy because there's too many worries about all your things. You're always worried about your money and your wealth and things being destroyed. But in extreme poverty, there's not wealth. But somewhere in the middle, is usually where you're happy. And so don't you live your life for all these pleasures, just live a moderate life. And moderation is in this book of Ecclesiastes. But the point here is a poor child who's happy and has a big smile on his face. You know, a strange thing, I saw poor kids who lived in the most dire conditions, but they didn't know they lived in the most dire conditions. And they were okay. And they had smiles. And then you see kids who have everything, and they're just little grumpy, spoiled brats. And we think that you've got to have this set of circumstances to make you happy, but he said, I'd rather be a poor child that's happy than a miserable old king. And if your lot in life is happy, don't let the world tell you you're not happy. It's a very funny thing. You could be happy in life, and all of a sudden the world tells you, no, you're not happy. You need this. If you don't have one of these, you can't be happy. Really? Oh, I guess I'm not happy then. That's what advertising does to you. And you could have been happy before, but now you think you're not happy. You were fine yesterday, but all of a sudden you saw that advertisement. Now you're not happy until you have that thing. And it's better to be happy than to have lots of things. And again, if we look at chapter 4 and verse, let's see. Oh, well, you saw those verses there, and verse 14 through 16. And we saw that. Next, work makes you happy. Work makes you happy. Again, another observation here. Work will make you happy. And chapter 5 and verse 18. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. For this is his portion. It's interesting. Chapter 4. Chapter 5, verse 19. Every man also whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and he taketh his portion to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. To enjoy your labor. And chapter 3 and verse 13. Also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. God, it says several times here, God gave you a gift, and that gift is to enjoy your labor. A lot of thoughts on that, and I'd like to teach a whole lesson on labor. I might do that next week. But it says it is a gift from God to enjoy your labor. An unsaved person can be very satisfied with labor. You are unsatisfied, and listen to me, take my word for this. Because I talk to people all the time in this condition. If you think that if you didn't work anymore, you'd be happy, you're really, really wrong about that. The people who think, oh man, I'm going to get on disability, or oh man, I'm going to get on this, or oh man, I'm going to retire. Here's the problem. We had a generation who retired who were in their 70s and 80s, and they were in their 60s. That generation was happy in retirement because they were not a lazy retirement. They grew up working their whole lives. And what did all your parents tell you? I can't be idle. I can't not work. I've got to do something. And they stayed busy. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a Sabbath and a day off. That's good. There is a time to rest. I'm not saying you shouldn't take a vacation. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you ought to be satisfied in your work. And they still kept their garden. And they still went and tinkered around the house, and they had a big yard, and they stayed somewhat busy. You will not be satisfied laying around watching TV all day or playing video games or sitting there on the couch or sleeping your life away. You will be miserable. Everybody thinks to sleep in makes you happy. It doesn't. You know what? By the way, do you know kids who go to school are happier than kids who drop out? Not for the first month, no. But eventually, the kids who stay in school, at least they think they're miserable in school, but they're occupied doing something. And you will be satisfied in work. By the way, that's one of the reasons I don't think you should work your whole life in a job that you don't like. If you have to eat, then do it. But I don't think you should go to work and not be satisfied with what you accomplish. I don't like jobs where you don't accomplish something. You ought to do something in life where you feel good at the end of the day. I helped mankind. I mean, and you can do that in a lot of jobs, by the way. You can do that in healthcare business. You can do that as a garbage man. And you can feel good. I've got all the garbage. You can do that as a farmer. You can do that as a pastor. You can do that as a government worker. You can do that as all kinds of things. There are some things you can't. You can't do that as a bartender. The Bible says that. And in Amos, it says, well, then we give other people wine and things like that. But you know what? Find something in life where you, at the end of the day, say, I felt like I did something good. It's getting harder and harder for one reason. Because of the way our greed has crept so much into our culture, the businesses are so high pressure now that you can't enjoy a day at work. That's gotten very common. It's like everything's gotta go, and everybody's stressed out at work, and we're not just, you know, digging a ditch together and just working at a certain pace. It's now intense push pressure, and that's hard to be happy in. That's getting more and more common. But you know what? You gotta be satisfied in your work. Work brings pleasure. We take yard walks in my house. In our yard, we have a half acre. We treat it like it's a 100-acre farm, and we are all of us. We got gardens and plants and all things. I have an orchard, and we got two different gardens and plants and blueberries and grapes and strawberries and raspberries and everything everywhere. We take a walk and look how the things we planted are growing. And there's satisfaction in seeing the result of your labor. And that's another thing he observed. Next, work makes you happy. Next, all the pleasures of life are somewhat empty. So there are pleasures in life. He said, I got joy. He said, in work there is pleasure, and enjoy the labor of your hands. Chapter 6 and verse 3. If a man begat 100 children and lived many years, so the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered in darkness. Moreover he hath not seen the sun, nor known any good thing. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years, twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? And verse 7, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. So there you go. You see that, you know, there's pleasures on earth, and there is pleasures on earth. There's things you enjoy, and enjoy those things. God, it's a gift from God, your labor of your work, and different things are a pleasure. However, they're an empty pleasure that is temporary, and they bring emptiness. Only the Lord can bring fulfillment. Next, you cannot understand life from an under the sun perspective. Chapter 8. From under the sun perspective, just looking at this life, standing alone, you cannot understand life. And I got to finish with this. Verse 14 says, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. And again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that it is also vanity. It doesn't make any sense that happens. Verse 17, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. He cannot find out the work done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. The secrets of life are not secrets because they are told in the Bible. And all the wise people in the world can seek to find it out, yet you cannot know it if all you're looking on this planet, because you'll keep coming in the circle of this life is sure empty and pointless, and just a circle of temporary life after circle of temporary life. It goes on forever. It won't go on forever. But you know what? You can't understand life without the Bible. It doesn't make sense. It all seems pointless. And you've got to read the Bible to get that. We got to finish this up because we didn't get to his conclusion. And a couple of conclusions that he talks about in life. There's two different conclusions he comes to. We'll do that next Sunday at 10 a.m. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to be together. I pray that we would understand life from your perspective, Lord. We didn't really get all the way to the end, Lord, but I pray you'd understand that there is a purpose in life. You have a plan for us. That, Lord, life is worth living, and it's an abundant life. But, Lord, you've got to look at the right perspective of life. Otherwise, life seems like a lot of labor and a lot of hardship and a lot of cycles that are really tough. Please, Lord, help us to get the right perspective on life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.